sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
John!
Damn, all right. And welcome to the show. This week, we will review Jethica and the Deadly Spawn. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. We give his thoughts.
Sorry. I don't mean to interrupt. Could you please repeat the titles of the... What are we doing?
Sure, first? Yeah. The Deadly Spawn.
Oh, that's our TV corner movie?
So the Jethica, is that?
I'm sorry, I am so sorry. One more time, please.
Jethica.
Okay, so you're saying Jethica, not Jessica, right?
No. I'm reading it phonetically. Jethica.
So you're saying it's not Jessrol Toll, it's Jethica. Throw toll, right? It's Jethica.
Jethica. We could just do sounds.
Okay.
All right. All will be explained. Well, we're going to quickly explain what we're doing this week because there is no TV corner. We are reviewing 2 movies because we feel like I'm trying to remember why we decided to do it, but
because technically this is a short movie. But technically, so is our main feature is technically also a short movie that barely brisked by with what I consider the C plus of movie lengths.
Right, yeah. So
what I mean is it's only 10 minutes longer.
Yeah, it's only 10 minutes longer. Wildly, 2 totally different types of movies here. Titled Jethica, which we'll review first, and then we'll talk about The Deadly Spawn after.
And then the Deadly Spawn. Is that inconsiderate? Well, let us tell you.
So if people don't know,
this movie's called Jethica.
so we're not. I mean, we're not. It's literally spelled Jethica, and the character in this movie, which we'll explain, says with a lisp, Jethica. So
yeah. Which, to be fair, I was listening and I was like, I still hear an S. I mean, I understand.
I still hear an S too.
But Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think it's because like his situation, without spoiling, is because why he can't pronounce the words well.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
That's the vibe I got from it.
Because he seemed to be doing a whole lot of yelling and I'm going to go ahead and say it. This may mark the one movie to mention the word and or name Jessica the most amount of times in anything I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. We will 100% get into that. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Oh, for this one. See, I thought it was a short movie.
No. Okay, perfect. Perfect. You don't. Well, I'll just read the plot from here. As you see,
Jethica,
we've never done this before.
Jethica.
This is going great. Bringing 2 movies was a great idea.
I got another one. Woman does best to ghost.
Worse for me.
Ghosted man has a lisp. There you go. You're welcome.
Ghosted man gets ghost. There you go. That's
ghosted man gets ghosted also.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Pretty good. Look at us.
Which is weird because this has nothing to do with ghost, right?
No, whoa, does it? Okay, so I'll just read what this movie Jessica is about. When Jessica Stalker surprises her in New Mexico, she must seek help from beyond the grave to get rid of him for good. About sums it up. So, Sean, what did you think of Jessica?
For one, I want to say when you found this, right? And I asked, like, are you saying like it's a like Jessica with a lisp? You're like, yeah. Oh, that's funny. It does look like it's Jessica with a lisp, right? I'm like, okay, I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
And then I'm watching this movie and I'm like, oh, okay, this is our main character is friends with somebody named Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean somebody's going to have a lisp? And sure enough, yeah, somebody has a lisp, and that's why it's called Jessica, even though he doesn't ever actually say Jessica.
Yeah. Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I feel like I was, like, getting nitpicky about it until, like, the movie kept going. I was like, no, this is, like, really original and interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed everything about it. There was no slow moments for me. I do feel like it didn't need the tag at the end. I don't know if you saw, like, in the credits, the post credits, there's a tag.
No, I didn't. I didn't see the post credit. I just where it ended.
Well, then I'll explain what happened in, like, mid or post credits. There's a one more scene. But yeah, no, I don't know. How'd you feel about it? I liked it.
Yeah, I'd say that this is a super, like, tiny budget movie, but I think it has a really fun original idea that I think that they get the most of. And there's actually a really cool scene in the movie that I think is probably one of the scariest things I've ever seen. It's literally just a guy saying Jessica and then, like, rambling on about his feelings and emotions about this girl, and that I thought was absolutely terrifying if it was real.
Yeah.
And utterly relatable in, you know, as we get it, you know, if you get into relationships, you get obsessive. I don't think it was very clear this guy was in a relationship with her. He was just literally stalking this girl, Jessica, but it was, you know, got her number, was like voicemailing, sending videos, just being on social networks.
Shit ton of letters, yeah.
Shit ton of letters, and just like.
It was just very obsessive.
You know? Obsessive, yeah.
And you're right, the dialogue that they chose for that, because some of the conversations they have between each other, I'm like, okay. So I had a thought and a realization, and it's kind of true from the writers I do know. I feel like a lot of people that are really talented writers are not the best at social activities. Is that fair to say? Like, they're mm-hmm. not people that go out, and when you do talk to them, it's always kind of an awkward conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can't be interesting. So a lot of, like, the more mild dialogue in this, I thought felt kind of unnatural. Like, a lot mm-hmm. of, like, well, people don't talk like that. But then when it came to, like, them talking to themselves or having, like, some sort of monologue, I was like, this is really good. This is brilliant.
And I feel like that scene alone, what that was, I think, worth it just to check this movie out. Because I think that even though it was kind of slow and it took a little bit to kind of figure out what was going on, you know, once it got the plot going, there's that scene that I think, oh, it's totally worth just watch this movie for that scene, because I think it totally is terrifying because of the how realistic it could be. But then in this context, it's kind of taken, you know, it's like supernatural element, I guess. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I found his ramblings to be very believable, and the way that people are able to kind of, like, even when he's getting rejected, convince himself with that, like, oh no, this is exactly what I need to be doing. Like, he's still, like, going on and on and on. And it just was like, oh man, this is, like, terrifying. This must be I think it did a really good job of showing what how stalkers really are, you know? Yeah. So,
which I don't think I really caught that he was dead until like moments before the reveal of her showing him in the trunk too. I'm like, oh my God, is this guy dead?
Yeah.
Because I kind of thought maybe the other guy was dead at the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They also don't show who like she's talking to. So she's kind of telling this story to some guy that she's banging in a car in Los Angeles, question mark.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Pickup shots in Los Angeles. Yeah.
Well, no, because they also mentioned she's like, or he's like, oh, so do you live here in LA? And she's like, no. It's like, oh, where do you live? And she's like, New Mexico. I'm like, what the fuck? Why is she driving so far away to get laid? Like, but then I'm like, okay, I guess I understand why. They also always do it in a car, and I'm like, okay. And I think so she can be mobile, which I guess makes the tag make more sense the more I think about it. Because she's presenting the story like well after this had happened, right?
This has already happened, yeah. The story that we watch, yeah.
Including the reveal of who that guy is at the beginning, the hitchhiker she picks up.
The hitchhiker she picks up, yeah.
Which I figured might also be a ghost, too. And then I figured it was the same guy that, because there's a cold open of her hitting somebody, potentially with the car.
Yeah, there's like a POV of, couple things happened where, like you said, like she's our main character, Elena, is like having sex in the car. And then she's like afterwards, she's like talking to the guy and she's retelling the story. But then there's a cut to it's like snowy, wintry. And she looks up and you can kind of see there's like a POV. And then she looks down at her phone and then we keep that angle. And then we look back up and then she like hits somebody. And then we get into our story. So.
Which, watching that scene, you got your water in you?
I have plenty of water now in me. Coffee. by water, I mean coffee, yeah.
Even in that moment, I was like, oh, that's real shitty, that sucks. But also, I don't know, like it would be very difficult for somebody to randomly hit somebody out in the middle of nowhere. So I wasn't sure if that was a ghost already or... But then the reveal of that also, I was like, wow, that's pretty fucking cool. Like, I feel like the way this story was structured was really smart.
Yeah. They do some nice reveals. Yeah. Like, so it's revealed that Elena knows Jessica because I think they were high school friends and they meet at a gas station. Yes. Jessica is reluctant to hang out with Elena, but she seems like she's kind of like very lonely the way the movie opens and kind of, you know, it almost seems like she's a little desperate to have friends. She's kind of sad herself, but is masking it better. So they go back to Elena's house and...
I thought you were going to say TV corner. they go back to
Elena's house. Yeah, and then Jessica says that she's back in New Mexico because she's trying to get away from a stalker. And they do a really good job of showing little hints of like Kevin, like walking around. I don't know if you noticed, like he's like somebody's walking around in these large open. Because in New Mexico, I don't even know if anybody knows New Mexico. This was an ugly, disgusting state. So, so it's very barren and just gross. But so.
All right, to be fair, before we get mauled in the comments, one of our favorite cities on Earth is in New Mexico. We haven't even been there together.
But we've driven through it.
We've driven through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But most of it. You know, to be fair, like most of Texas is pretty fucking ugly too. So
I don't know, man. It's just
like the west side of Texas is nothing. And then the panhandle part is the most dreary fucking place I've ever seen in my life. So
yeah, I guess so. But I mean, New Mexico is I only say that I poorly described New Mexico, but I think the reputation it has is very flat, dusty area, right? Like very,
it's still early 1900s style farming.
Pretty much.
It feels like, yeah.
they shoot all the Westerns in New Mexico because has the vibe.
So I think they do base and shoot Yellowstone there, and they didn't have to do anything to change it. It just
they literally just shot at the ranch. It's there. So they, I guess where this kind of comes ahead is that there's somebody one morning, Kevin is like, Jessica, he's looking for Jessica. He's like wandering around looking for her. And Ellie's like, hey, is that your stalker? He's here. He's like, no, he's not here. He can't be here. That's not him. And, mm-hmm. and Ellie's like, no, it seems like it is. And Jessica reveals that, she killed Kevin and she's kind of like on the run. She has him in the back of her Focus or something like that. Yeah, or not Focus. Prius, it's Prius.
Yeah. It's a Prius.
Prius. And so Kevin's basically a ghost zombie deal at this point because Elena says very casually says that this was her grandmother's land and she was some sort of like witch or something and she missed her husband died. She missed her husband. So she did some kind of like curse on the land to where if anything dead comes within that land, it comes back as a ghost, right? Is that kind of explaining it?
Like that. Which,
yeah,
I'm surprised there isn't like just a bunch of like ghost bugs and like lizards.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if it's only specific to people, right? Like
I'm assuming, yeah.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah. Which I thought was like a very clever, like there's no let's try to figure this out. It's like, hey, this is the deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my bad. I should have told you. Or I should have asked if you had like dead bodies in your car.
yeah.
Which, I mean, that is super illegal because I think Jessica came from Los Angeles, so she didn't claim it at customs. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Because there is a stop there. I know there is. Because I swear I've been to that gas station, gassing up in New Mexico to get into California. I swear I've been there.
It all looks the same, like, John. In New Mexico, you could have been. It's ugly state.
I recognize that back truck thing and the thing and that gas station right there.
Yeah.
Which that side looks real shitty, but the front of the gas station looks very new. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And I swear that is like miles from a checkpoint. I like recognize the shit out of that for some reason.
Eagle eye, John. That's very good.
A weird thing to recognize.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I've been to that weird gas station in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. So now they have to.
Oh, wait, real quick. Because to be fair, when you travel, like we have a couple of times from Los Angeles to where we're from in Texas. There are moments when you hit West Texas up into like California where you're like, I should have fucking stopped to pump gas at that gas station. And now I am pissing and shitting all over myself for fun because I don't know when the next gas station is going to pop up.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. It gets scarce. And then you got to stop at any gas station, anything that says gas at all, you're just like, okay, yes, I'll stop here. I don't care.
Not caring if gas is like $20 a gallon because you're like, I don't want to get stuck out here.
Yeah, yeah, that's like a thing. Yeah, there's like no gas stations out there. That's just a New Mexico issue, I think.
But it's got the thing of the desert, right? That's in New Mexico.
It has a desert, yeah.
No, you know what I'm talking about? The thing of the desert? I don't know why I'm talking about this instead of Jethica, which was a great film, by the way, but there's a random side, like roadside attraction called the thing of the desert. And I finally went to it with my older brother once. And it is literally some weird, like it's a, I think Native American run, like gas station shop, which is kind of cool. Like it's neat. I think it was cool. But then their thing is like, oh, just give us like $5. You can go look at the thing of the desert. And there's all these like sort of shed warehouses that build a kind of U that you walk through. You walk through them. You walk outside for a little bit, walk through them again. And then it finally gets to the thing of the desert. And the rest of the attraction is old torture devices stemming from like the 1700s. Up until like the 1920s where you see like a like an old 1920s car and a bunch of like gangsters, like just puppets popping out with like guns and shit. It really felt like something was going to pop out. Like that was a part of the attraction, like on strings and like flap in front of you. That never happens. It was just weird. And then the thing of the desert was a little coffin, and you look inside and it's like, oh, a tiny mummified like alien corpse or something. And it's all made of wood.
Yeah.
So there was no, yeah. Anyways, so I saved you the trip. Don't stop for the thing of the desert. And or do support them. I don't know. Support small business.
Shop local. Yeah. Was it? The movie. So,
Jethica
needs to. Jessica wants to get rid of Kevin. Because I think she try to drive away, and then he just kind of continually appears like throughout the road, right? So he's like kind of like haunting her at that point.
I think at that point it's when Elena was like trying to say like, hey, don't like freak out. And yeah. She's like, well, I'm freaking out. Kevin.
Yeah.
So I'm getting the fuck out of here. And she's like, wait, don't do it yet. Don't do it. And then that's when that thing happens in the middle of the night, which did remind me of Creepshow 2. The mm-hmm. That story where that lady is cheating on her husband with some gigolo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She runs over that guy that's trying to hitch a ride. And then the guy keeps popping up. So she repeatedly starts to like
see him over and over again. Yeah.
Which is one of the more in your face stories about racism. And it's also like, will stick with you forever. Because it's fucked up. But the same idea, like this guy just keeps popping up and she's freaking out. And I thought maybe she was in purgatory or something at that point.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Before Elena was like, oh, so
there's rules. Yeah.
Might be. But my grandmother was a witch and she did some shit or whatever. Cause grandpa, she was like, pop, pop. I'm just making up dialogue. Cause pop, pop was like, you know, her one and forever. So you're not seeing shit. It's really there. I see it too.
Yeah. And the rules. So there's like three rules, right? That to get rid of it, the problem, you either
to kill the ghost.
You get a ghost to kill the ghost. You.
Something, or you give it what it wants. I don't remember what the second thing was.
I think you. Because I know that the third one is you talk to the ghost. And then the second one was...
Oh, yeah. This I think the second one was like you convince the ghost to go away. And then the third one is you give the ghost what it wants.
That's what it was. Yeah, you talk... Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, you give the ghost what it wants.
Because she tried to get a poor ranch hand owner before trying to get a four-year-old or a four-month-old baby to come and kill this person.
So this was super fun, right? Like she has to go grave robbing to find, and she's looking at the different tombstones or whatever, or markings. And she tried to first dig up a child, 4-year-old child to fight middle-aged Kevin or whatever. And so she finds an old ranch hand, and Kevin immediately dispatches the old ranch hand.
Which I feel like she should have noticed when Kevin first popped up. He wasn't completely coherent, right? He was he looked more like a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
And then as time went on, he like became back into who he was. Because this dude was like, what the hell? Who are you? Basically, and confused. She was like, hey, do you know where you are? And he's like, oh, where are my cows? And she's like, oh, that guy stole them. And it looked like the dude was just going to go like, hey, do you know where my cows are at? And Kevin's like, fuck you.
Yeah, pretty much. He was not aggressive about.
No. And Kevin's like, you die now.
Yeah, and he dispatched the ghost. So then they have to go to the second plan was to talk to Kevin, which I think Elena does and tells him you're a ghost, I think. And
it works.
For the most part. At first, it worked.
She does the like, here, touch my hand, and he can't. Mm-hmm. Squeeze us through. Then that's when you decide like, no, this is perfect. I can protect her forever.
I could be with her forever. And yeah, I mean, I don't think it'd be overstated how like this guy's like talking about her obsessively over and over and over again. Like he's just like all he's doing is just thinking of her, and it's actually a really nice performance and kind of scary to see somebody like that. And then finally Jessica talks to him and tells him, like, I killed you. Do you remember how it felt? And she's like, oh yeah, it felt bad or something like that. It felt awful.
It felt lonely. It felt like, nobody was helping. And she's like, that's exactly how I felt every time you showed up.
Yeah.
So, poor dude was just like heartbroken. Poor mentally ill man.
But there's more. There's a fun twist. And this is part of the movie I think is like, I wasn't expecting, you know, that. Mm-hmm. So it's said that, and we've already kind of touched upon it, that Elena like ran somebody over and was in near her property so that she was there was a hitchhiker she killed named Benny. And so she was constantly like, hey, Benny, you want to pick you up? I can take you down to whatever, the end of the road, end of the town or whatever. And so she would do that for him without telling him he's a ghost. And
now that makes sense why she goes to Los Angeles to like meet up with this guy. Right. And he's like, what are you doing? You're hiding out. She's like, yeah. What she says, I'm hiding out because I killed somebody. And I think it's like a good little play on words and a twist, because you assume like, oh no, she doesn't want to get caught, mm-hmm. but it's the guilt and she's waiting for him to like pass on completely. But she just feels so bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's a really sweet sentiment actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she, in a odd twist, Kevin and Benny, meet up and talk about their experiences. And Kevin tells him, hey, you're a ghost and blah, blah, blah. What's your face? Elena killed you. And Benny's like, no, I killed myself, 'cause I was lonely. And so he jumped in front of the car, even though Elena wasn't looking. So it kind of was like, Elena wasn't looking, and plus he wanted to like kill himself.
Which I thought was the way that conversation starts, I thought was really cool. Because the only reason Benny knows he's a ghost is because Kevin said, like, because they bumped into each other.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, dude, you're a ghost too. Kind of like, dude, sick, you're a ghost too. Want to be friends? are we best friends? What just happened? And then when, Elena sees Benny walking aside and he's like, you know, I'm a ghost. It's, you know, whatever. He seems like he's out of it, like drugged out almost.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that's the way he died. Which I have questions, because they do an elaborate thing where she opens the door and he, you know, gets in.
I thought that was weird. Yeah.
Yeah. And then opens it again for him to get out and closes it because he can't physically touch it, but he can physically sit in a chair.
Yeah.
and drive miles.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's true. He could have just fallen completely out of the car. It's just like, but he did it. Yeah. That was kind of like an odd thing to happen. But yeah, the last time they meet, you know, Elena's picking him up, and like Benny's actually happy because he's like, oh, you know, you don't know why yet. And then he explains that, like, oh no, I actually killed myself. And I'm happy because I'm going to meet my best friend now, Kevin. And he ends up working out. Kevin gets the best friend, and they're able to, and it alludes to them
passing on,
no longer.
They got what they wanted, yeah.
Because they got with it. Benny got a best friend. Kevin, I guess they both were lonely, right? That's kind of the idea. Yeah.
But I did like that, or it's like Kevin is just like talking his ear off, like, oh, dude, what's up? Oh, man. He hugs him like, oh man, this and that. And Benny's just like, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, because that's what he always wanted. Benny wanted a friend. And so Kevin's like
Jay and Silent Bob situation over there.
Yeah, pretty much. And so very sweetly, they like walk into, I don't know, disgusting New Mexico. And then there's purple clouds everywhere, which I highly suspect was natural to that area. And they allude to the fact that it's the afterlife. They walk on, they pass on or whatever. And weird, fun twist to a movie. Was not expecting that.
And I gotta say, should we be paying attention more to Will Madden?
I think so. Is, yeah.
You know, this is what our second thing we've done that he's been in review.
Really?
Yeah, what else? He played the wolf in The Wolf of Snow Hollow. He was the guy that was.
Oh, yeah. There you go. He's the weirdly tall guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, I feel like we should pay attention to him. And two, you didn't see the tag at the end. So it is time has passed, I'm assuming, because Jessica is now dating another guy. And they're talking about the party they're going to go to or whatever. And then there's this lady in the parking lot who has a very similar sort of makeup style to the other ghosts.
Mm.
Trying to talk to the guy she's with. And he doesn't know how to help her. And he's like, she's like, I don't know where I'm at. And then that's when Jessica's like, wait, well, hold on a second. You don't know where you're at? And then the boyfriend or whatever is like, yeah, where is this? Montebello? So they're in California now. They're in Los Angeles County.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, wait, here, touch my hand. And then that's kind of the way it ends.
Oh.
Which I didn't think was super necessary. But
wasn't, but yeah.
No.
Interesting.
Because I thought maybe it would make sense if you find out Elena's talking to another ghost again, but then she would have to be a ghost. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. It's
unnecessary.
One too many things. Too clever. Yeah, I think they had a really, like, great concept, fun twist, unsuspect. Like, I was not expecting this end at all. I thought it would be a little more, like, somber, depressing ending, but it was actually quite nice. Very
yeah, it was nice.
Upbeat yeah. ending. And, yeah, it kind of feels like one too many, like, cute
Except
things.
Except the reality is two murderers got away with it, so.
Yeah.
Because what happened to Kevin's body? I don't know.
That's true, yeah. yeah. Yeah, that does leave that in. That is a plot hole, I believe is what they call it. So.
Yeah, because... Like, how is new boyfriend going to take that Jessica is willing to kill you?
She finds you annoying.
She finds you annoying. Yeah. Because even the way Kevin died, I was like, oh, man, like, kind of it was in defense. Just call the fucking cops. I don't know. Like, you know, There was no way he could get in there. Like, she was locked inside of, like, her apartment or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And that's Jessica.
And that's Jessica. Alrighty. Do you want to just rate this, John? How many... I think we should give it some sexy, spooky bones. Or yeah. Do you just...
I'm going to give Jessica, for a short film, I'll give it 8 sexy, spooky ghost bones.
Yeah, I think this is a really fun, small movie. It's about 1 hour and 12 minutes, kind of like not short, but not really short. Movie that I think is really interesting. Really
yeah,
interesting.
It goes by fast.
It goes by fast.
Slow moments, yeah.
I think that the POs, this is the director, and it looks like Will Madden wrote it and
don't,
Kelly
don't
Hernandez
be upset
wrote
with
it.
Me, Pete O's, but you sound like knockoff Cheerios you'd find at Trader Joe's.
So it seems like it looks like the actors wrote this, so it probably was like kind of improvised. So I'm kind of even more impressed with Will Madden, because Andy Faulkner is the other writer and he played Benny.
Oh, cool.
So it seems like
and then Kelly Hernandez, who got her start in Austin, Texas, right? She's a Robert Rodriguez sort of find.
I believe so.
She
yeah.
did all those movies after Sin City that we didn't.
Yeah. So this is a really fun micro budget movie that I think more people should watch. It's super fun. So yeah, I'll also give it 8 out of 10 sexy spooky bones. Alrighty. That was
Are we ready for the deadly spawn?
Are we?
No.
Alrighty. You do have a 5-word pot summary for this, right?
I thought it was too short. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, I
do. Okay. John, do you want to get... Hold on. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny...
5-word...
Plot summary... drum roll, please.
For the deadly spawn, I have coming in at number 3. Town's Bad Case of Worms.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 2. Alien Monster Penises Stay Wet.
Yeah.
I was going to say lubed, but I don't want to give anything away. And coming in at number 1, Horror Nerd Only Non-Idiot.
So I think
I got a bonus.
Okay, give me a bonus.
It's Nobody Cares About This Kid.
Yeah, you did. This is a good one. So I think these two movies perfectly represent us. So like, yeah. I felt like Jessica's, you know, it was my pick. Let's be real. So, and but you could appreciate
it. Spawn was my pick, so.
Which I can appreciate. So it's literally, this is the perfect set of movies for the type of movies we look for. So
it is funny because Jessica, I feel like, presents itself initially as a movie where you're like, okay, it's low budget.
Yeah.
Because it felt like it was trying to be clever at the beginning, which it was. You just didn't understand that it really was clever. And then the Deadly Spawn, immediately you're like, oh, this is low budget. So you know what you're in for.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no guessing what this movie is. It's like,
so let me ask, had you seen this movie before, or had you just heard about it?
I had randomly seen, because as you can well guess, which I'm assuming yours is too, a lot of my social media and or YouTube has been curated to randomly have yes. weird ass horror science fiction yeah. related things to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this was one of those movies where it was like 10 years before Tremors, we had the Deadly Spawn. I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I can't compare the two, but you know.
But okay, what did you think of the Deadly Spawn?
I really liked it. I feel like it's a really good, hey, you're having a Halloween party and you need to like curate a list of horror movies to play in the background. This one's perfect.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, you don't need to worry about story. You don't need to follow characters either, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm not really going into spoiler, but one, you know, people are going to die in this movie and one person dies, and I had to rewind it like twice to make sure I was looking at the right person and be like, oh, wow, okay.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's so strange. Beginning, you're like, oh, the story of these people. No. Okay. After credits, oh, the story of these people. No.
Yeah.
It just keeps kind of going on like that. You're like, oh, okay. So who are the main characters of this story? And it is 4 college students, question mark?
Is it, or is it the 4 old ladies? They had a lot of screen time at their...
They did, too, but then they disappear off screen, kind of.
Yeah, after they get attacked, yeah.
And then there's a kid who is kind of left to his own devices for pretty much half the movie.
Mm. Yeah. You know?
Like, and he is in the same house as these 4 students, and they never cross paths until the very end. But they're in the same house.
Yeah.
I thought it was brilliant.
So I think this movie, the way I can describe it, it's like a drive-in movie, B movie from like the 50s and 60s, that kind of
yes.
vibe.
Oh, but 1,000,000%. Yeah.
But done in 1983. With the small budget. So it has a lot of those like tropes. It has, that's where I kind of got the kids. They were kind of like too smart for their own good, you know. It literally opens with like a quote unquote meteor crashing down and somebody investigates it. And then like these ugly creatures pop up. And I thought I will point to the fact that the makeup, the creature designs, I thought were great for low budget.
Yeah.
Inventive, really fun. some of the action sequences with them I thought were pretty well done. There are large stretches of this movie where it's really boring. So, but
like unnecessary dialogue and scenes where it's just trying to show you these people are people, and it's like, what? Like the old ladies.
The old ladies, yeah.
Like their conversations were like, what is this?
Yeah. So, just like, I will say, like, yeah, there's long stretches where this movie was like, oh my God, this movie just talking your ear off and they're talking about nonsense. It's not very low budget. I'll, you know, try to describe it. But when we get to like the creatures, the action sequences in it, I was like, dude, this is cool. It's really fun. You know?
Well, because I was going to say the effects were pretty amazing because, you know, until maybe the end, you don't realize that maybe you're looking at a miniature town. I'm just kidding. It looks 1,000,000,000% fake when you first see it.
Yeah, there's charm to it. There's charm to a lot of this movie, right? Like the effects, especially.
It was kind of in the same vein of, I need you to help me remember what this movie was. We both thought it was a lot of fun. Ultra low budget. A bunch of people go into like a haunted house. They have like very wacky characters. Like one guy is like,
Spooks.
Spooks. I think so.
It was the unfinished movie that they just like
slapped together
an ending for it or whatever to get it out. Yeah. Which we reviewed.
Yeah. And again, like similar thing, like I'm not going to say it's like a fucking brilliant movie, but it's fun.
There's, something about it that's like, this is, I'm not going to immediately turn it off. I'm going to keep going and watch this movie.
What's
going
to happen here?
Yeah.
Especially because you're like, I want to see this kid fuck shit up. Let's go.
Yeah.
this kid that's obsessed with horror movies, and they don't do the best job explaining it other than like his room is filled with horror stuff. And he's always trying to scare his parents, I guess.
I kind of feel like that was probably, I mean, this definitely feels like a kid who grew up watching monster movies, wanted to make his own. This kid is like a surrogate to do his own fandom, you know, and he made him kind of a movie about it, but he felt the need to add like all of these other plot elements to it or fill it out into making a movie. So you feel him running up to his like limitations quite a bit. Put it nicely.
But I'm wondering if this was made with like a higher budget and was released like today, if it would be better and a little more original than Communion Girl.
The movie that came to mind was like, it's The Blob, right? Like this is...
It's The Blob.
Yeah. With Tremors like creatures,
with
giant teeth and or like worm like features. The best way to describe it.
Which I'm wondering. Oh shit! So Little Shop of Horrors came out after this movie. Mm-hmm. 3 years after this movie. I was going to say, I wonder if they got the idea of the form of the thing from Little Shop of Horrors, but nope.
Nope.
This is a groundbreaking film. You're welcome. We found it for you.
For 1983, this was, I think, pretty impressive on the creature front. I'd put any other 80s monster movie against the creatures of the, you know.
I will say I thought a lot of it was really funny. Like the first two campers we run across. What is a spoiler in this, by the way? Is there a spoiler in this movie? It kind of just presents itself immediately.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Right. There's no
pretty. If you've seen, like, a monster movie about a monster taking over a town, you've seen this movie. So
exactly what this is. Yeah. It's The Fly, right? It's the return of The Fly. Like, Plan 9 from Outer Space. Creatures are just going to attack people. Because the cold open is these two campers that find the asteroid that hits, and then they both die immediately. And then credits. And then it cuts to this couple that gets out of bed and they look very attractive, like done with makeup and shit. You know? And that's when you realize that the deadly spawn has crawled into their basement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that dude dies. And then a chick that woke up like in full makeup and like a super see-through blouse. By the way, the only like nudity in the entire film.
You got to get the European. Got to sell it in Europe, John.
Because not only is she wearing this thing, like wear whatever you want, sure. But like, not only is she wearing this thing in full makeup, getting out of bed, but she proceeds to feed her cat the largest fucking can of cat food I've ever seen in my life. Easily like 6 servings. Just like plops it in the thing.
Yeah.
And then she dies.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. So, and then it cuts to like the parents of the horror kid.
Mm-hmm.
And they look like shit getting out of bed. So I was confused. There's no makeup for them.
More people coming out of bed. Yeah. So
basically, this movie is everybody getting out of bed at different hours of the day. So you get a schedule.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
But also, there's like a, I guess he's supposed to be like a hillbilly dude of the friends.
Oh yeah, the dumb guy, quote unquote.
Who's like dumb because he doesn't know biology. Like, but that's why I'm wondering. Like, are they in college? Because even at a college level, they knew way too much about everything. They're like, oh my god, maybe it's this species. Blah blah blah. And then they make him feel dumb for not knowing. He's like, oh, what if it's like a snail? And they're like, that's what this is, what we just said. He was like, oh no, but maybe it's like a worm or something. Like, that's what that was. It's like, yeah, nobody knows what that shit is. Like, come on.
And then he like takes a walk and then the nerds decide this is the perfect opportunity. Let's bang. So,
which wasn't the case, right? No, the guy was like really interested in her, but she was really interested in the hillbilly guy who was interested in some other girl.
Yeah.
That shows up randomly at the end to live instead of the other girl.
The hillbilly guy gets out. The other girl gets thrown out a window, I believe, or gets her head chewed off. I don't remember correctly.
She gets her head bitten off by the deadly spawn.
Yeah.
And then somehow the deadly spawn that has no arms and or digits launches her out the fucking window.
It's tentacles. Tentacle arms.
Oh, that's right. Because it's got tentacle, like, deadly spawn hands, which is more deadly spawns.
Yeah,
including the little sluggies. So if you've seen like Slither or Night of the Creeps, it's very similar.
Yeah.
Oh, when did Night of the Creeps come out? Maybe that's where this originated.
I think also the 80s, but I think mid to late 80s.
Yeah, probably, because if this movie was any better, it would be because it has Tom Atkins. Yeah, 86. So this movie came out the same year as Little Shop of Horrors. You're welcome, everybody. Now you know.
Yeah, we're doing the deep research. I forgot about
the
movie that.
Started it all.
So I think they represented the quote unquote, when you watch these like, whenever like movies, these like weird low budget movies, it's always like scientists explaining everything. I think they were the surrogates of that. They were the ones to kind of explain, know too much about it, but they were kids for some reason.
But didn't know anything at all about it, right?
Yeah. Because
everything they said was like not, you know, viable to what these things were.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
And they died for it. They died for it, except for the hillbilly guy. He survived.
Well, no, the other dude survived too.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I think you're right. He was
like freaking out at the end, but they contained him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all got cornered by the thing. But luckily, Horror Nerd Kid was able to, he had like a full on thing of flash powder, which is,
sure,
I don't think even legal anymore. and shoved it up one of his like masks that had a head, like a foam head in it.
Yeah.
And connected, which also, this is not how this works, I don't think. Well, maybe. I don't know. Connected zip cord, which if you're unfamiliar with what that is at home, it is basically the wire you plug into the wall, except without the male end is what they call it, the plug part.
Right.
So he like snips that off of a lamp, and then the deadly spawn is eating the head, and he needs a little more length to plug it into the wall. So he has another extension, and he plugs that in, and he keeps yanking on it like it's not going to unhook at the other end, but it doesn't, luckily. And the thing explodes.
Yeah,
even
it's
though this
dead.
Kid got bit by the thing.
Yeah. So what's the? It just eats, right? It's just consuming.
I think it just I think that's it's all just, it does.
Yeah, it's not like spreading itself. Yeah. But there is a really funny too long a scene where, and the setup is kind of taking too long with four ladies having a lunch party, Tupperware party. What's the right situation here?
My big question about the movie is, why is everybody in town going to this one fucking house at different times for totally different reasons?
It's true. And
how is this kid there, right? Like, how do they all live in the same house? I had questions about that.
The big setup is that they're having this lunch party that goes on too long, only for one of those little wormy creatures to get in to the food, the blender.
It was in the blender because it jumped in trying to eat the kale or whatever lettuce
greens.
Was.
So they're vegan. So they were.
So well, they understand the food pyramid more than we
do. Yes, yeah.
But I like how there's like a little bit of a tease when one of the four students is walking by and sees like the painting move a little bit. He's like, oh, that's weird. And then he goes away. And then the reveal after the blender thing is like that painting falls and there's a bunch of deadly spawns. I'm like, yeah. How the fuck are these like chode looking things hiding behind a painting?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they kind of look like roaches, just like scattering everywhere kind of thing.
Yeah.
And
I mean, they kind of look like mini little Jabba the Hutts, except.
Yep.
Or like sandworms. I don't know.
Yeah, that's correct.
A bunch of bad teeth.
Yeah.
No eyes, which is important to the plot.
Yes.
But they have ears somewhere.
But yeah, so I don't know. Kid saves the day.
They start going around killing all the rest of deadly spawns. They're like, hell yeah, brother, we've done it. And then the earth starts to shake. And then we get drawn back into that shot towards the beginning of the miniature town.
Right.
And one of the big mountains is a big deadly spawn.
One of the mountains is a worm now.
The entire mountain's a spawn.
So was it there the entire time, or did it just like erupt from, because the way it's shot, it's kind of like it was there the entire time and then, oh no, it's not really about it. It was the deadly spawn.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But the
thing is, like the asteroid that fell or whatever the hell it was not nearly big enough to support something like that. And
right.
Then I just assume like this thing that they kept, I don't know, like the queen or whatever, I think was what they kept mentioning at one point. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I might be making that up. Did it just, it kept growing in size, I am imagining. So maybe this thing grew really, really fast because it ate all the vegetation in the earth.
Yeah. I could see that. Unless, hear me out. Maybe they were already here on Earth and they crash landed.
That's what my second guess was. Yeah.
That
they did mention something like that, right? Like, this looks like fornicatus fallacious or whatever, right? We're like, oh, but we haven't seen one of those in a kajillion years.
Yeah. Maybe so this thing was
awakened by it.
Awakened by it. But to only truly know, I don't know if you knew this, there's a sequel, John. So,
ooh, shit.
When you're ready, you can watch The Deadly Spawn 2.
The Deadlier Spawn.
Yeah. It has another name.
Would you be upset if you found out that the actual plot of the movie revolved around War of the Worlds and this was like an alien thing that's like, oh, it's time to wake up all the deadly spawns in the earth.
Yeah, well, I'd be okay with that. Spielberg did it, right?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Yeah. Okay with that.
It's it's time for the chodes to hit the roads, right? That's what the tagline is for
the sequel?
The second movie.
New Jersey makes sense. All of these people look very New Jerseyan. Is that?
Oh yeah.
Is that track?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Brunswick, New Jersey. New Brunswick, New Jersey. Tracks completely.
And again, I just want to, like, my favorite part of the movie is when the hillbilly dude was trying to get, I think the dude's sister, is that who it was, to come and study with him too, because he had a crush on her. And you finally get to see her in the last like 10 minutes of the movie. And she almost gets got, but they pull her into the room. And instead of her dying, they kill off the other main girl who's been with the movie the entire time. But this other girl that just showed up gets to live. All right. Cool. That's what I mean. I had to rewind it because I was like, did they kill off the girl that's been in the movie the entire time? I could not figure out. I don't know why I couldn't tell the difference at that point. I think they kept cutting back to different things where I was like, I don't know, I'm not really following. I just want to see more people get got.
So the unofficial sequel, Metamorphosis, the alien factor, in many parts of Asia, it was distributed under the name The Deadly Spawn 2, The Metamorphosis, because The Metamorphosis was made for millions of dollars more and had much more of a higher production value than The Deadly Spawn did. So the producers wanted to separate them all together. So that's just a little factoid there that's important when we watch Metamorphosis, the alien factor. So.
Okay. Well, it's on our list, but we have a lot of stuff to do.
It's the unintended sequel. So get ready.
You know what's funny? I found that because I opened up my my personal documents. We both, I think, use like this very exclusive website called Internet Movie Database.
Oh, yeah.
And on the bottom, it was like, oh, Metamorphosis. So I looked at it. I'm like, oh, this is it. And then it said, you might also like Spookies.
Man, we are. The algorithm knows us, John. Too well.
Too well.
Frighteningly
well.
Frighteningly well. Alrighty. Do you have any other thoughts?
Nope.
That's it.
It's all said and thought for you in this movie.
Alrighty. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give The Deadly Spawn 6.5 sexy chode spooky bones.
I'll say that, yeah, this was a fun B movie, like you said, like a party movie. You kind of throw it on and just watch this movie and just have it on the background type of thing. I will give it 5 sexy spooky bones out of 10.
Because even like you said, like the boring parts, you're watching them, but you're also like, what is going on? And then it's done. And then it goes back to the weird stuff.
Yeah. To get back to the really cool monster effects they did. So. Yeah. Cool. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. We'll be right back.